28th of August 2004 afternoon session. Participants include Sarah, John, Sukin, Ivan, Betty and Sangjun.
He has no more clinging to sensuous objects. So can karma upadana ever be used in the context of an anagami? No.
Not for anagami.
Right. In some commentary it says that it can have a wider
I see.
Karma upadana can refer to all remaining
When the karma and bhava is not separated, the karma includes the clinging to the bhava too.
The karma and bhava is not separated, then it includes...
In some place like upadana, but in other place when they are separated.
Right. So it just depends if you have a fourfold classification, they're separated. Then you cannot use
karma
upadana referring to anagami.
No, no, for upadana now, I remember that there's no bhava and upadana.
Right.
So when we use the term karma upadana, it includes bhava too.
Include bhava. So in that context, it can refer to anagami.
Right.
Because it's bhava. Another technical question about sasankarika and asankarika, prompted and unprompted cittas. When we were here last time, you said it's just really a matter of degrees, you know, strong and weak. One can have strong and weak attachment, strong and weak generosity. If it's just a matter of degree, why are they distinguished or given two different cittas?
Only for the karma vajra, and also not for the ahetuka citta. Because there is no necessity to separate the citta as asankarika and sasankarika. So it's only for akusala, 12 akusala and kama vajra sopana only.
For these ones, if it's just a matter of degree rather than something, you know, completely different, why is it necessary to separate? Like, for example, if it's lobha, we don't, when it comes to the classification, separate the degrees, is either with or without lobha.
Since realities are different degrees, that's why we use this term.
So it's just to show different degrees, two different terms, that's all. Just to indicate that there are degrees only.
Actually, there are only realities, but we have to use concept so that we know what we mean.
Also, we know that whenever it is sasankarika prompted, that it's, you know, sluggish or weak or it needs prompting. But can one say that whenever it is weak or sluggish, that it is prompted? Well, not necessarily.
Can we know that? But when panya knows, it knows that they are different.
So can it be unprompted but weak, I suppose?
There are many degrees.
Sure.
Because many different conditions, so we can't just say, oh, if it is weak, it must be prompted.
But still, I'm not clear about why it is separated in the text.
The realities are like that, so we use the term or concept to make it known which one we are talking about.
You mean the difference here is...
Realities now here are different.
Right. Yeah.
So we use the term to know which one we are talking about.
Right.
According to realities, if realities are not different, we don't have to use any term at all.
But is this difference between prompted and unprompted a difference of reality or a difference for the purpose of teaching and explaining?
Realities.
Realities.
Yeah. It's not just the word, but it specifies the realities.
You say so that we know which one is known, whether it's
prompted
or unprompted.
Yeah.
But if it's a question of degrees, so I mean, all one can say whether it's strong degree or weak degree.
Because you see that we don't have to try to know citta now, whether it's prompted or unprompted, but when it arises, and since we know that they are different from other moments, then we use that term to differentiate the difference.
So do you mean, for example, if we're talking about attachment, then one knows whether it's strong or weak attachment, that's all, just to distinguish whether it's strong or weak.
For example, would you like to see God, Lord of the Ring?
Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Would you? Would you like to see, to go and see?
To go and see.
No. But if someone asks you, and you just think about it, and sometimes you go.
Yeah.
It's different from when you really want to go.
Mm. And it also depends on a lot of other conditions.
Right. Just to show the difference between different moments of citta.
So I was asked for any comments you may have. For most people, even if they've never heard the teachings, they know they touch hardness. There isn't any idea of the hardness as being a thing or a self.
Even the one who studies, do we have to think whether there is self or not at the moment of touching? Because you see, the Dhamma is not for telling the others whether what's happening. But whenever Chetasikas arise, many of them at a moment, can we tell how many are there and what is the characteristic of each one? Or only when one appears? So that can be the understanding or the misunderstanding of that reality. So if wrong view does not arise, can we say that, oh, it's wrong view?
Right.
We can never say like that.
No. No.
Can we then say, on the other hand, that if you've never experienced hardness, just hardness as hardness, then it's probably the self?
I think that even children who doesn't have any idea about self or non-self at all, but children can tell what is experienced, whether it's hard or soft. So it depends on that moment whether what Chetasikas arises, no wrong view or with wrong view.
So again, it just depends on accumulations,
right.
Whether... I mean, what I wrote in the reply was, you know, one has to know, or what kind of wrong view, because it depends on conditions and accumulations, whether wrong view arises or what kind, because it may not be any wrong view about at that moment, but there may be the idea that I have touched something hard the next moment.
Or there's the idea, for example, at this moment of seeing, who thinks that I see. We pay attention to the object instantly. No idea at all about the object which is experienced. Who ever thinks, I see, I'm seeing now? No one. But when there is nothing at all appearing together like something, and there is only one object, then at that moment the awareness can understand whether there is the Chetasika, which is wrong view or not. So when we talk about citta and chetasikas, like at moment of seeing, there are 7 chetasikas, or at other moment there are more, we just talk about all these realities, but there is no actual understanding of anyone at all. For example, we would say there is passa, but does passa appears to right understanding or citta or chetasika? Not at all. But we learn to know that there are 7 of them anytime, not knowing any characteristic at all. So by studying Dhamma, one becomes to know or understand oneself, how much one knows about reality that one has learned. We can talk about asankharika, sasankharika, but whenever it is sasankharika or sasankharika, is there any understanding? So instead of just thinking about what is there in the book, but what is there now? For example, does one really know the passa chetasika? If not, what can be known right now? So we can say that whether there is ditti or not, sometimes one may have only just attachment to the object.
One can't say, oh, just because someone hasn't appreciated the Dharma, they have wrong view of harmless, because it just depends. We don't know the other's citta at that moment, or their accumulations. Maybe no conditions for wrong view to arise at all.
Because when we think in terms of people, animal, and things like that, how can we tell about realities right then? But when there's awareness and it is aware of a characteristic, it's time for developing understanding of what we have learned. It's not the statement that we should know or understand just the word, but that this statement tells about reality. So when there is the understanding of that statement, and we understand the moment of reality, whether what statement is about, kusala or akusala, and so forth.
If we experience hardness and don't realize that it's just the experience of hardness, that there's likely to be, if we take it as part of an object, is that?
Like now, there is hardness?
Yeah.
So what?
The story we have is that it's...
Not the story. Reality right now.
Reality right now.
Is there any wrong view?
No wrong view.
No self view?
Not at that moment.
Is there attachment? Is there avicca?
Avicca.
But if there is no sati, we just talk about avicca.
Right. But if someone asked you about the hardness, you'd say, well, it's hardness of table. You know, that's how we perceive it. So is that not taking hardness
for a table?
For a table.
Yeah. Like Buddha knew who's there.
Right.
Ananda or Sariputta. So this table.
Yeah, but if someone didn't have the understanding of Buddha or Ananda, would that not be likely to take it as a thing
it
existing
depends.
On its own?
It depends on citta at that very moment. That's why there are citta with wrong view and without wrong view.
We don't perceive the world as being realities. We perceive a world of objects and things. So what kind of thinking is that? Is it not? If it's not wrong view, which is obviously not all the time, but it must be founded on an underlying idea of people and things, which would be wrong view.
But does it arise at that moment?
No, it doesn't arise at that moment. I certainly wouldn't say that we just take hardness as hardness. That's the other. Not extreme.
So you mean that any time you experience hardness, it's with wrong view?
No, I don't say it's with wrong view, but I say that it's not just hardness either.
So it's concept?
Yes.
What else would that condition? Since we don't take it as hardness, more ignorance? Just more ignorance?
Avicca is the
just ignorance acute. Just moments of ignorance, just accumulating more moments of ignorance, but different from wrong view. When you say there's wrong view utter sanya all the time, wrong view of self all the time, what do you mean?
No, like, I'm saying taking it as self, because we still take it as things. Now.
So when, but not all the time.
As thing is different from as self?
Yeah, I understand.
So utter sanya, taking this hand as being part of our whole body, that's not the same as wrong view of self. That's just taking that as thing, like when it takes the hardness.
Does that, I mean, even though it's not arising at that time, wrong view is not arising, but we do take self for reality.
That's why we have another word like vipalasa. Mm-hmm. Sanya vipalasa is not ditti vipalasa.
It's not. No, what I'm saying, as long as the wrong view has not been eradicated.
But it arises or not. as Pakatu Panisya Pachaya or as Sahachata Pachaya?
Can we say it's stronger than the other moha citta, doubt, when restlessness predominates? And then there's a question about it cannot produce vipaka in the form of an unhappy birth, but it does produce vipaka in the course of life by way of unpleasant experiences through the senses. Yet we know that not every akusala citta is kamapata, so when it says that it does produce vipaka in the way of it, during life, does it mean that it can? I mean, I'm wondering why it says it does. Does it mean every citta brings result, or just every citta has the capability of bringing result during life?
When it's not kamapata, it just accumulates.
Right. So why does it say that it does produce vipaka in the course of life? Just it means that it can, or some can.
When we talk about one kamma, how many jitas are there? How many javanas?
Many, many.
Many, many. Yeah. Can there be the moha mula citta without doubt, without lobha dosa in between?
Yes.
During that kamma too?
Yes. Yes.
So it's part of the kamma.
Right. Okay, it's part. So it's.
Yeah.
I was very relieved to read that, because I was relieved to read that when Nina wrote that, because I found myself to be with a lot of restlessness the whole day. So when it was stated that it cannot condition patisanti, I was
the uttacca the whole day. You mean with lobha, with dosa, or pure?
Pure
uttacca. How you know that?
I go blank a lot of the time. Just a lot of moha. I can
less,
sit here.
Less or more. Less or more than lobha and dosa.
Must be less, but it happens quite a bit. It's sort of like my nature to be absent-minded, and I sort of miss things and.
In between.
In between.
Yeah.
In between.
And what is not in between the whole period? Yeah. And which one is the weakest one? The akusala citta. Which one is the weakest one? There are 12 akusala.
Right, so the one
moha.
With restlessness, the moha with restlessness, but without doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there's doubt, it's.
So it's better than with lobha and dosa.
That's what I was saying. I was relieved.
Because you have more than with lobha and dosa.
Can one generalize at all, or say that there is more? Most of the time, there's just moha, or one can't say like that.
I think that there's no need to try,
no.
Because we should develop the right understanding of reality.
Because I mean, I would say, oh, it seems like there's more moha than anything, but that's, you know, maybe because. So much subtle attachment isn't known.
When we talk about subtle, at what level do we mean?
When I talk about subtle, I mean pretty gross.
I mean, for someone who doesn't know, he would know.
Like the asava, after seeing, hearing.
This is subtle. Having like slight niggly feelings or slight, you know, attachment, what we call slight, really, with more understanding will seem very gross. It's not subtle at all, but it's just compared to other kalesa arising and obvious in the day, it's more subtle, but that's all. Say that we need many ways to cope with akusala.
Finding the way or understanding reality. Because you see that when we hear the teachings, the benefit of hearing the teaching is to understand reality, what is good and what is bad. So, and when we follow the right thing, that is the result of hearing. If not yet, can we say that that is the result of hearing? Just read.
But the result of hearing can be more listening.